Reading texts 3 and 4. Also, if you can let me know, sometimes people complain that I'm too close to the microphone or that I'm too far away from the microphone. Please let me know either way. Sometimes I can't really tell if I'm doing it right. Hare Krishna. Okay. So maybe we'll chant text 3 responsively. Or I'll read it once, and then we'll chant it responsively, and then we won't chant text 4 responsively, just for saving time. Narupamasyeha tato palabhyate. Nanto nachadirna cha sampratishta. Ashvatamenam suvirudhamulam. Asanga shastrena dridena chitva. Narupamasyeha tato palabhyate. Nanto nachadirnascha sampratishta. Ashvatamenam suvirudhamulam. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Narupamasyeha tato palabhyate. Nanto nachadirna cha sampratishta. Ashvatamenam suvirudhamulam. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Please chant. Narupamasyeha tato palabhyate. Nanto nachadhirna cha sampratishta. Ashvatamenam suvirudhamulam. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Narupamasyeha tato palabhyate. Nanto nachadirna cha sampratishta. Ashvatamenam suvirudhamulam. Asanga shastrena dridhena chidva. Narupamasyeha tato palabhyate. Nanto nachadirna cha sampratishta. Ashvatamenam suvirudhamulam. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Narupamasyeha tato palabhyate. Nanto nachadhirna cha sampratishta. Ashvatamenam suvirudhamulam. asanga shastrena dridhena chidva. Narupamas.
Oh, the next one.
It is combined. We were just chanting the third verse. Should we also chant the fourth verse responsively?
Tatapatam tat parimagrivatyam.
Yasmin gata na nirvanhuya.
Tameva chadyam purusham prapadye. Yata pravritti prashuta purani.
Chai, we can read the word for word. Na, not, rupam, the form, asya, of this tree, iha, in this world, tata, also, upalabhyate, can be perceived, na, never, antaha, end, na, never, cha, also, adhi, beginning, na, never, cha, also, sampratishta, the foundation, ashvatam, banyan tree, enam, this, suvirudha, strongly, mulam, rooted, asanga shastrena, by the weapon of detachment, dridena, strong, chitva, cutting, tata, thereafter, padam, situation, tat, that, parimargitavyam, has to be searched out, yasmin, where, gata, going, na, never, nivartanti, they come back, bhuya, again, tam, to him, eva, certainly, cha, also, adyam, original, Purusham, the personality of Godhead. Prapadye, surrender. Yataha, from whom? Pravrittihi, the beginning. Pashrita, extended. Purani, very old. Translation. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began, and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. We can read it together. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began, and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is now clearly stated that the real form of this banyan tree cannot be understood in this material world. Since the root is upwards, the extension of the real tree is at the other end. When entangled with the material expansions of the tree, one cannot see how far the tree extends, nor can one see the beginning of this tree. Yet one has to find out the cause. I am the son of my father, my father is the son of such and such a person, etc. By searching in this way, one comes to Brahma, who is generated by the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Finally, in this way, when one reaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the end of research work. One has to search out that origin of this tree, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the association of persons who are in knowledge of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, by understanding, one becomes gradually detached from this false reflection of reality, and by knowledge one can cut off the connection and actually become situated in the real tree. The word asanga is very important in this connection, because the attachment for sense enjoyment and lording it over the material nature is very strong. Therefore, one must learn detachment by discussion of spiritual science based on authoritative scriptures, and one must hear from persons who are actually in knowledge. As a result of such discussion in the association of devotees, one comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the first thing one must do is surrender to Him. The description of that place whence, having gone, one never returns to this false reflected tree is given here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original root from whom everything has emanated. To gain the favor of that Personality of Godhead, one has only to surrender, and this is a result of performing devotional service by hearing, chanting, etc. He is the cause of the extension of the material world. This has already been explained by the Lord Himself. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. I am the origin of everything. Therefore, to get out of the entanglement of this strong banyan tree of material life, one must surrender to Krishna. As soon as one surrenders unto Krishna, one becomes detached automatically from this material extension. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya
Chakshulam Militam Yenam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kudamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Translation again. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial.
There's a modern Vaishnav poet who's a godbrother of mine, and I was thinking of one of his poems in relation to this verse. The line that I remembered, he said, "This world is like a dream. It's not what it seems. You think it's solid, but it fades instead." He said, I found it online. I thought it was so good, and it's like so perfectly related to this verse. My godbrother's name is Raghunath. He was the singer of a band called Shelter they made hellish rock music in the early 90s, and they were incredible preachers. I personally feel that I don't know if I would have made it to Krishna consciousness without them. Excuse me. Anyway, without having to listen to the sound of their music, if you just hear the lyrics, it's very brilliant. I'll just read this. This is one of his songs called Quest for Certainty, and he actually beautifully summarizes all the points made in the purport. Alone in a crowd, just like a jailhouse, but I'm reaching for something real. And I'm sure on the street there are people just like me who know the way that I feel. I've heard from the fools and I've followed the blind, but I'm not going to be defeated. Now I want to hear from a truthful source, 'cause I'm sick of being cheated.
so-called educators are just big speculators on topics unrelated to me. Filled my head with school. Now what do? No wisdom, just a paper degree. So many people teach, so many people preach, and make a claim to authority. But I've seen in their lives, they're compromised. So why should they be teaching me? College, money, family, will these things set us free? Make up your mind, soon you'll be dead. This world's like a dream, it's not what it seems. You think it's solid, but it fades instead. I know so far I've been looking real hard, and I'm trying to get a grip on reality. If there was a place where you didn't lie, cry, die, would you come with me? It's my quest for certainty, in an age that's plagued with absurdity, a quest I'll try my best to manifest sincerity. What more do they want from me? That's pretty good, wasn't it? Do you know that band, Raghunath? You're too young for that, probably, right? I'm sorry? Yeah, Raghunath's doing great. You know, he doesn't do music anymore, not too much. Now he's a yoga teacher, and several times he's like just naturally a very charismatic leader type of person. And every year for, I don't know, at least 3, 4, 5 years, he brings at least 30 new people to Vrindavan twice a year from America. So that's pretty good, right? He's a good preacher. So, Krishna's been talking about the banyan tree of this world. He describes it as a tree where the roots are up and the branches are down. And where do we see a tree like that? We know a banyan tree has all kinds of branches going up and down, up and down. If you see like a big, beautiful banyan tree, it kind of looks like its own forest. But the roots being up and the branches, you know, the branches being down, you don't really see that. Prabhupada explains, it means it's the perverted reflection. If there's a banyan tree on the bank of a river, then the reflection in the water will be upside down the way that's described. And so that's where we are. That's what this world is. This world is the perverted reflection of the real tree. And from the standpoint of the reflection, Krishna is saying, the real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. Everybody's searching for happiness, but in this world, any kind of happiness, it won't be satisfying and it won't last. Like Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, he says our tendency towards love expands outward. Just like if you shine a flashlight, then the light infinitely will increase in diameter, like the light stream. So our search and our need for love and affection is infinite. But what we'll find in this world
is limited and temporary. So anything we can find here, it'll always tend to be frustrating. It'll always frustrate us. It's designed to frustrate us. So Krishna's encouraging us to search out the real tree, where we can actually be satisfied. And this is the first verse where he explains. What it really means to do that. And what it means is you have to cut off attachment for this world and surrender to Krishna. So Prabhupada writes, the real form of this banyan tree cannot be understood in this material world. Krishna says no one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. And the point here is that by speculation alone, we'll never reach the truth. There's a powerful verse in Mahabharata, very famously, everybody knows this, and it's also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Maybe it's Maharaj Yudhisthira, I forget. Logic and discourse are inconclusive. A person whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Merely by studying the Vedas, which are wide-ranging, one cannot come to the correct spiritual path. Knowledge of the correct path is hidden in the hearts of a self-realized person, a Mahajan. Consequently, we should accept whatever path these self-realized persons advocate. So the mission of human life is to understand, where am I from? What's the cause? My father had a father, Prabhupada says, and then my grandfather had a father, and his father had a father, and his father had a father, and his... Where did it begin? And that's not an easy question to answer just by human speculation. And you'll notice that for all of their... pride and their bravado, the materialists will never be able to give a good... They can't give you a good answer, and they'll never be able to give it. When we're asking these kinds of origins questions, like in the 80s, Sataputa wrote a nice magazine called Origins, where he discussed materialistic speculative science and the limitations of that, and what are the Bhagavatam or the Vedic alternatives. When they want to talk about things like the origin of the universe and the origin of life and the origin of species, it's all full of speculation. When I was in college, I was a philosophy major, which in retrospect was a crazy impractical thing to try to study. But the basic thing that I got out of that was this verse from Mahabharata. Logic and discourse are inconclusive. They'll never reach the truth like that. I remember walking into a class in my senior year, and it was like a high-level philosophy class, and it just hit me. There's nothing really you're going to get out of this. Logic and argument are inconclusive. What it means is, if people are good at debate, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they would have their debates, if someone's clever, you can always break the premises or question the premises of your opponent when they make an argument. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so expert, he could defeat his opponent and then defeat the argument that he used to defeat the opponent and again reestablish and defeat it again. So like that, there's just like, and it's just, there's no conclusion. It's very difficult.
to find a conclusion. So, I found a few comments about this. Last year I read the book Dialectic Spiritualism, where Srila Prabhupada talks about different philosophers. I'm not sure. You know, even some of these books, you know, some of like the Quest for Certainty or some of the different BBT books, they have a lot of these conversations with the philosophers. So you can find it in different ways, even not under the title Dialectic Spiritualism. But here, just from the first chapter, Srila Prabhupada explains perfectly, we are all limited and God is unlimited. Therefore, we cannot understand God by our limited sensory powers. Consequently, God must be known by revelation. Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Muki Hijivado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. Material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna is. It is not possible to know God by mental speculation. When we engage in his service, he reveals himself. So it's only by the mercy of God that we'll ever be able to understand God. On the mental platform, we cannot know what is truth and what is not. Therefore, we have to learn the truth from the supreme truth. Truth is truth. It is not subject to speculation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that after many lives of speculation, the man of wisdom surrenders unto the supreme absolute truth. In the beginning, a man may employ deductive logic, but in the end, he surrenders. He comes to the conclusion, Vasudev Sarvamiti, God is everything, and therefore I must surrender. This is the perfection and ultimate end of the mental process of speculation. That is, speculation is abandoned. In another place, the devotee asked the question based on someone's philosophy. He challenged, the nature of ultimate reality cannot be known or proved. Srila Prabhupada said, it is a fact that it cannot be known by mental speculation, but it can be known from a person who knows it. Locke may not know, that means John Locke, the philosopher that they're talking about, but someone else may know. Everyone thinks that others are like himself. Because he does not know, he thinks others do not know, but that is not a fact. There may be someone who knows. Then he quotes the verse, Tad vigyartham sagarum eva byagachet. In order to learn the transcendental science, one must approach the bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession, who is fixed in the absolute truth. That's from the Mukunda Upanishad. The Vedas tell us to seek out the person who knows. That is the bona fide guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that such a guru is one who knows that the ultimate reality is Krishna. Krishna also says, right? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatvadarshina. We have to approach the person who knows. That's the only hope of fulfilling the mission of life, which is to understand what is the absolute truth. Atato brahma jigyasa.
From where does everything emanate? What is the absolute truth? And practically we see, just go ask anybody else. You won't find a satisfying answer. You'll find highly speculative, flawed answers. I've always felt the worldview of Krishna consciousness is so powerful. It explains our reality so beautifully, so perfectly, in such a all-around satisfying way. All the answers to the big questions are given so perfectly. It gives us faith. And it's not like Prabhupada was preaching to the scholars in Los Angeles saying, Krishna is God, why don't you accept it? And he challenged them. Oh, well, you know, we're old, Swamiji. It's difficult to accept something new. That means you're not serious, he said. And he said, I'm not just making up something new. I'm just teaching an old tradition. This is from Bhagavad Gita. This is from authoritative scripture, which great acharyas have accepted. Like in the modern science field, they have something called peer review. Unless your ideas and your theories have been peer-reviewed and published in the peer-reviewed journals, we don't care about them. That's the only thing that matters. But their peer review, they can't give good answers. The Vedic knowledge is also peer-reviewed by highly qualified spiritual scientists. And we practically see... what did my godbrother say? I've seen in their lives they're compromised. So many people preach, so many people teach and make a claim to authority, but I've seen in their lives they're compromised. So why should they be teaching me? When you see, the big scientists and the big philosophers and the big atheists... But then what are their lives? What are they doing? I had a philosophy professor who was very, very intelligent in college. And whenever I would... And he kind of was the first professor to teach me all the arguments for and against the existence of God. And I would enthusiastically try to debate him. And he was really sharp. And he had an answer to everything I said. So I couldn't really establish my point, which was kind of bewildering at the time. But then I see in his own life, practically, what's his conclusion in life? Where is he at in life? Like Prabhupada would say, you can figure out a fool. You ask him, what do you think is important in life? And then you can understand, where they're at and where their problem is, where they're stuck in making progress. This particular professor, he had a reputation for kind of going and getting drunk at the local bar. And even there was a rumor he may have not had perfectly clean dealings with some of the lady students. Anyway, so I saw in his life he's compromised. This is not the person that I'm interested in following. The Vedic authority is different. Vedic authority, our acharyas are very ideal people. If you'll study the lives, of our Guru Parampara, of the great acharyas in the history of our Vedic culture, you'll see so many incredible, inspiring examples of highly ideal persons. Yes, that makes sense. Here we have such satisfying philosophy, such a clear worldview, such perfect answers. And it's not just someone just speculated this. This is all confirmed. All the acharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
Yes, Krishna is God. It's true. That's the reality. That's what we need to focus on. Confirmed again and again and again. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, Narottam Das Thakur, the six Goswamis. Everybody's confirming all of these high ideal personalities. Yes, this is the truth. This is the absolute. This is where you should focus your mind and your attention. Forget about this world. Focus on that thing. Oh, there was another very nice comment. This is from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in his Uddhava Gita. He says, whenever a relationship with Krishna is absent, useless mental speculation becomes prominent, which creates quarrel due to the influence of Kali. If the existence of the Supreme Lord is not realized, people who are deceived by the illusory energy of the Lord are made to run after the path of mental speculation and dry argument. It's a powerful comment, right? Who is... Yeah, right, that's from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's in a commentary to the Uddhava Gita section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right, did Garga Muni was saying the Acharya comments on the Shastra. Oh my God. That wasn't even the main point. So, Prabhupada is explaining to us, what did he say in the purport? About we have to cut our attachment to this world and surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's our... And the two things, they work together. You'll only really be able to become detached by becoming attached to Krishna. Like I remember one of my first classes in the temple, They said, if there's a little child and he's playing with a knife, then that's a very dangerous thing for a child to play with. And as a parent, you want to take the knife out of their hands because, you know, they can hurt themselves. But if you just rip the knife out of the kid's hand, the kid's going to freak out. But if you give him a lollipop instead, then he'll have something that's nicer, and then he'll easily give up the knife. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness is the positive alternative. By surrendering to Krishna, we get something nicer than what we have here. So I was just thinking, now is the beginning of Purushottam Mas. Sorry for just a little bit babbling. I was just looking again, because of yesterday we were honoring Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his Sharanagati, and hearing his poetry, what is surrender to Krishna, how he's expressing his moods of surrender. So maybe we can just end with hearing some of these meditations. These are these are illustrations of what is pure devotion. When we're just speaking theoretically, it may not be so clear, but when you hear the songs and the prayers of our acharyas, it makes it very, very clear. What does it mean to aspire for pure devotional service? And this one's very famous, but so perfect. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, mind, this is Manasa Deho Geho from our songbook, mind, body, family, and whatever else may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. In good fortune or in bad, in life or in death, all my difficulties have disappeared by accepting those feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you have full authority over your eternal servant. If it is your wish that I be born again, then I may take birth in the home of your devotee. May I be born again even as a worm, as long as I remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born as a Brahma, averse to you. In the last purport, Prabhupada was describing those who are too attached to the ritualistic formulas of the Vedas. They're going up and down the banyan tree of this universe, sometimes as Brahma, or the Indra, or the Gandharvas, or the Rakshasas, or the humans, or the animals, or people suffering in hell. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, main problem is, I should be with the devotees. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me. Bhaktivinoda says, O Kana, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul. Hare Krishna. Maybe we'll leave it there. If there's any comments or questions about anything.
Okay, this is a trick question. So, that place, once having gone, one never returns. But we did it. We returned. So how do we figure that? Free will. If you ask the question, you have to have the answer to.
Thank you. I'm satisfied with that answer.
Anybody else? The answer is free will. You're entitled to make your own mistakes. That's what it means, free will. Or to choose the correct path, like that.
I'm really not an expert on that very complex and controversial question.
Well, it seems to be a controversial question, but the answer is just so straightforward.
Yeah.
It's just the answer is, you have free will.
You have free will.
That's why Krishna doesn't force you.
Krishna doesn't force you. That's right.
Because a relationship is voluntary. It's a two-way thing, relationship. That's why Prabhupada insisted. I love it when people say, Prabhupada said, your love will be shown to me if you all cooperate. But the whole thing was, he said, if you cooperate together, which means together. So in that way, we have to have a relationship with Krishna. So that means we have to do it willingly and surrender Well, of course, he's the supreme autocrat. That's what Prabhupada called Krishna, the supreme autocrat. But he's everything. So it's a relief to know that there is somebody who is full of all opulences, who is completely in control of everything, because we sure aren't in control of everything. Neither are we full of any kind of opulences or have too much intelligence. And even by our intelligence, we can't really understand so much, because our intelligence is so conditioned by material nature that we can't switch gears, as the expression goes. So that's why we have to depend on Krishna's mercy. But the whole thing is that we have to make the right choices by having the correct association and taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. I've noticed so many of our young devotees still haven't taken initiation. I don't know what they're riding on or what they're waiting for, but it's so important. Initiation means a beginning. So if you ever run into any of these people, you explain. You don't have to be a perfected soul. Initiation means beginning. Once you begin, then you're beginning. You have to make the first step. Otherwise, everything is just a dry run, and you're not going anywhere. Free will.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I want to ask a question, which is a little bit of the. Maybe my understanding is not the right, but as in the shloka said, that after cutting this tree by the weapon of detachment, person should seek or look for the place where anybody goes and never returns back. So this can be searched for this place only after cutting the tree by the weapon of detachment. So I was thinking, as Parvati Mataji told now, that initiation just the beginning. Is it means that a person who wants to be initiated, he already cut this tree of banyan tree of attachment to this material world? He already detached, because this initiation is a very serious step. I don't know how is others, but for me it was a very serious step in my life. I really cut down something very, solid in my life. Just cut down, just to take first initiation. So is it means that when we are cutting down attachments, so we are ready to be initiated by spiritual master? So Krishna appreciates our effort and immediately sends to us self-realized soul who can save us from this material world.
Well, it seems like it.
It just means then you are eligible to understand. Doesn't mean that you already understand everything. Just means that you're eligible to understand. Just like that shloka, Ram Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochatina Kanchani. When you give up this lamentation and so on, and attachment, then you're eligible for devotional service. So you're eligible for understanding the knowledge. But it doesn't mean that you've cut down all of your attachments, because you don't know how deep your attachments really are. And as I was mentioning yesterday, some people are actually completely attached to their bad habits, or their diseases, for example. they're the places where they're comfortable. There's an old saying, better to deal, you know, even if it's a bad situation, better to deal with what I know than to leave it and go on to something else. But no, that's not our philosophy. Philosophy is cut it down. But you can't just cut it down. You've got what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, you don't just leave a place. You have to go somewhere after you leave the place. So you have to know where you want to go. You have to know your goal. So that means you want to go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how do you get there? Not only by detachment, but by the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, by the association, by the path which is left behind, by the boat which the elevated souls have left behind, so that others will be able to know how to follow. However that goes. And I know I could never memorize these things. That's the concept. You wanted to say something. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, thank you. I just thought to say, it seems like to start spiritual life will require at least some detachment, especially depending on where a person is coming from. Like, you know, just in a simple way, to follow the four regulative principles and to, you know, make kind of associating with the devotees the main association in your life, at least from where I came from, I would say that required some considerable detachment from where I came from. Like my mother, when she read, you know, that the devotees don't eat meat and don't, you know, drink wine, she was like, "You're rejecting our culture. This is who we are." And that's true. That's how, you know, that was like her whole reality. How can you give these things up? So I think it required a certain amount of detachment, but I mean, still today, you know, I've been trying to do this for a little while and I have a really long way to go for, you know, really breaking the attachment to this world. Is that okay?
You agree to. I remember when I was asked if I would join their ex-holinesses up there in Nepal, I was thinking that if I do that, then I have to give up everything. I mean, I understood immediately that everything I've ever been or ever done, I have to, it'll be as if it was never there, it's just gone, because this is such a completely different pathway. I remember even the first time I think there was a Christmas party or something over there and opposite the Godavari River, and we were coming home in a taxi. There were Nim Karoli Baba disciples. And we were in the taxi with them, and they were all chanting Hare Krishna. And I knew that if I opened my mouth and chanted Hare Krishna, everything in my life would be completely devastated by this, because I could understand the potency of it. So that your mother was right. And I also know one of my god sisters was trying to get her mother to read some of Prabhupada's books, and her mother could understand that if she did that, then she would have to give up everything that she'd ever done in her life. That's the point. Because as you're saying, what's the consequence of everything you've done in your life? Just nothing. It has no meaning. It's simply mundane. No meaning at all. Anyway.
But it's really, even for first step, just do first step in Krishna consciousness, just to surrender, first surrender. It demands a lot of, you know, bravery. You should be very brave. Even at this time, 20 years before, I didn't know where actually I'm going. I had nice position, nice place, work. Everything was clear what I'm doing and what is next step. But by this just meeting with Hare Krishna, I just cut down a lot just to join, even though it was just a little bit maybe emotional. Just I like how they singing, how they dressing, how they eating, what they eating, and just to see the deities. And I came to India and I like it. It was just sentimental. But it gave me the impulse to make the first step and just cut down my previous life. But for the, like Parvati Mataji told, we don't know how strong our attachments are. They are very, very deep rooted in our consciousness. And to cut down completely this banyan tree in us, which is growing in us, in our consciousness, actually, now we should know exactly, we should have a knowledge where actually we are going. That's why Krishna in the next verse, he will start to describe his abode. Just we should know this very, very logically. He will tell us about his abode, the first information. There is no sun, there is no moon, no stars, no electricity, but it's always bright, self-illuminated place. And he started to describe, and it's actually very attractive what he's giving us. Description is nice. So person who did already the first step, second step, he will like to come there and just to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and have some relationship with him and even play with him in his transcendental affairs, take part. Just thank you very much. You are giving me a new glimpse, new to the 100 times I read it, but it comes now new, you know, some.
I once, there was a tree in our compound. What's the name of that kind of tree that has the four symbols of Vishnu? I don't know. Well, it was one. It was a very old. Maybe does anybody know the name? It's a tree with four symbols of Vishnu. That's what they use to make the Jagannath deities, actually. Anyway, there was a tree in our compound, and somebody named Samaka Rishi built a building and cut the tree down. So it was actually quite painful to watch this being done. They had to cut down all the roots which had spread all over the property. That took several days. And then there was the taproot. That itself took about 2.5 days just to cut that down in order to get the tree. So that's just one tree. But think of what it's like. We think we're cutting down some attachments. We're so deeply rooted and so many, and since time immemorial, Prabhupada puts it, we're deep-rooted in so many attachments, we have no idea what the seeds of our desires are and how to counteract that. It's only by Krishna's mercy. We have to make some endeavor, but it's only by Krishna's mercy. We can't do it alone. Seriously. Just understand.
We were just reading today that the Purushottam Mas, it's called Mal Mas, the dirty month by the materialists, because in this month, if you're interested in Vedic ritualistic activities, your pious activities will give no fruit. So if you'll do some You know, if you're like the Brahmins in the Krishna book that we talked about the last time, and you want to do some sacrifice for elevation to Swarga, this month is useless for that type of endeavor. So the Karmakundis will call it the dirty month, Malmas. But the Vaishnavs have said what it actually means is this is the month where we can most effectively clear the dirt from our
heart. Because she got the blessing from Krishna.
Right, because Krishna is very easily pleased if we'll do devotional activity in this Purushottam Mas, then this is a very powerful month that has incredible potential for cleaning the dirt of our, like, Chaito Darpana Marjanam.
A little bit at a time.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, everyone, for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
And thank you very much for the very inspiring lecture. Hare Krishna.
Verses 3 and 4. Yeah, the text, chapter 15, 3 and 4. They're going to speak about it again tomorrow.